Thanks for checking out the podcast, BS First. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook. Drop us a line. Let us know how you've been blessed by this ministry. As always, you too can experience a fresh start with Jesus.
Women in general, the most incredible creatures on the planet. You know, the world would like to tell you that men run everything, but they don't. And there's a very distinct group of people that run even more stuff, and they are called mothers. Mothers run everything, right? Don't believe me? Like, you could be 50 years old, and if your mom shows up and she just, like, snaps or looks at you weird, you still feel that thing in the pit of your stomach. You know what I'm talking about? It never goes away. They have a certain power over you. My mother is pretty amazing. I told you about how she used to, she could, like, communicate. She would play in the organ, like, now we play music when people are preaching, right? But it used to be my dad, and he's very long-winded. He would preach, and he would call for my mom to come play the organ, and she would play the organ. And as kids, we knew that was our cue to be unsupervised while our parents were on stage, tied up, doing the work of the Lord. So we would, you know, passing notes, talking, like, oh, perfect. Finally, we can breathe a little bit in this church service. And my mom could, like, from the organ, she could, like, spank you, cut you, ground you for 3 weeks, and you'd never move. My mom was pretty amazing. She had a way of telling you to close your eyes when it was time to pray. She noticed. So it was all bow for prayer, and everybody would look, and she would look right at you and notice that you were not praying, and she would go. She wouldn't close her eyes. I don't think it's really fair that she gets to keep her eyes open, but I don't get to keep my eyes open. She has been known to, as my sister said, show up at school for any type of reason, but she would bring you anything that you needed. Now, back in the day, we did not have cell phones at school. I don't know how we got a message to her that we did not have our lunch or our assignment or our track gear or whatever, but for some reason, she knew, and she would show up, and we would take off for a track meet, and I would walk to my lockers. I don't have any food for the track meet, and I would look in my locker, and there was a cooler full of everything that I would ever want or need. She also knew that there was this girl that I liked, and she liked strawberries, and so she would always give me strawberries so I could share my strawberries with this particular girl, who my friend Josh stole away from me, and so I never got to date her. Some of you know Josh, and some of you know the story, but I'm kind of thankful that he stole her away. Sometimes when you're in seventh grade, you don't make the best decisions. But my mom is absolutely incredible. She's a wonderful wife. She gives to my father. My father is better, as great as my father is, he is better because he has my mother. Is that right, Pop? Hallelujah. We talk about it often. And sometimes it just says, man, Nancy Jo, there's nobody on the planet like Nancy Jo. And that's my mom. So if you just join me, can we just applaud my mother? Just being amazing. I know you got moms too, but I got the microphone. And for so many in this room, she's also your mother. She's also your spiritual mentor that speaks into your life and loves you. And if you, this is a commercial. This was actually a long commercial for Coffee with Nancy Jo that's coming up. You don't want to miss that if you needed a mother in your life. Amen. So I was thinking about moms and what I'm going to talk about moms. And there's so much you can talk about. You can recite poetry. You can sing songs. And when we were kids, there used to be a song my dad would sing every single year for moms, like, Mam is for the million things she gave me. I'm not going to sing that today. I promised I wouldn't sing it in there. I just sang a little bit of it. So, but I was talking about mothers, and what can you say about moms from the Bible? And there's, you know, the Proverbs 31 woman, and there's all these great things that you can say about women. And I was thinking, what's kind of the definition of a good mother? What's the picture of a mother that when you walk away from here, you can say, I have seen an image, a painting of a woman that is what I would like to be like, an inspiration, an encouragement, all of those things for you when you walk away from here, whether you're male or female, doesn't matter. This woman, I think, is one of the greatest characters of the Bible, and her name is Mary. Now, join me for a minute. We have this mother, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, it's kind of crazy to think about Mary because we think of her in the manger and we think of her, you know, the crucifixion and we think about her raising this child up, and that's pretty cool. But we can't start with mother. We have to start with young woman. We have to start with teenager. We have to start with unwed mother who is pregnant. So here she is. She's living her life. She's going on. She has dreams. She's actually promised to a man named Joseph. They're engaged. They're going to live life together, and she is making wedding plans, and they have a two-year-long engagement where she's picking out flowers and dresses, and, you know, she's bought every issue of the Not Jerusalem edition, and she's checking it out, and she's tabbing all the papers, and she's licking them down, and she's calling all her girls, her bridesmaids, and they're picking out the perfect dresses, and then she's thinking about vows, and she's thinking about poetry, and the rest of her life is set before her, and one day, an angel shows up, and the angel says, hey, Mary, you're blessed and highly favored. In other words, that God is on your life. He thinks so much of you that his favor is on you. He is with you wherever you go. And everybody will go, wow, that's amazing. Such an amazing thing to have the favor of God on your life. Wouldn't we all like that moment? You're blessed and highly favored. Thank you. And because of that, you're going to be pregnant. Wait. I just got this man. He's fine, too. You know, Joseph is really somebody special. How would I even be pregnant? I've never known a man. And the angel says, actually says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Now, think about this. She's a teenage girl. Supernatural angel shows up. Power of God says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you'll be with child. Now, whatever God has asked you to do in your life, it's not as hard as what he just asked Mary to do. Whatever thing that God keeps nagging at you, saying, do this, do this, do this. I think you should do this. I think you should forgive them. I think you need to step out in faith. Whatever it is that you keep telling God no about, it is far easier than this. Have a baby, no father. Just go back and tell everybody it's God's son. Tell your fiance. Tell your family. Yeah, I realized that I went away on this 3-month trip to visit my aunt, and I came back pregnant. But trust me, no hanky-panky, just me and God, right? I heard girls say stuff like, are you dating anybody? No, I'm just dating Jesus. This is on a whole nother level. I'm pregnant. Who are you pregnant with? Oh, just, you know, me and God. Yeah, right. So here she shows up. Now, in this particular time, in this particular era, if she is promised to a man, and she shows up pregnant or she has had adultery, he has every legal right to disown her, stone her, kill her, and go to whatever length he needs to go to seek restoration. Now think about this. So here's Mary, a young teenage girl, standing before a powerful angel, the presence of God. And he says, you'll be with child. It's cute. It's nice. It's not like you just show up with Joseph and, you know, have a little, wand, and you're like, hey, guess what? It's going to be a boy. You know, it's loaded with every kind of weight, every kind of reality that she begins to play in her mind. So here's Mary, young mother, bright future, and now all of a sudden, her life takes a detour. And she knows every single bit of it. And so in this moment, I imagine that Mary took, you know, can I think about it? You know what? Oh, yes, Lord, I see that angel. If I could just pray about it, let me think about it and see if that's something that I want to do. You know, I'm not sure if I'm called to the ministry of mothering God. Can I pray about it? Can I think about it? Can I talk it over to my pastor? Can I see what Joseph wants to do? But in a moment, all these things come crashing to her mind, and she has one response. It isn't like a bunch of questions. It isn't like, well, what about this? What happens if this? Sure, what happens if I go to Joseph? Then what am I going to do? What happens if he wants to kill me? What's everybody going to say? I mean, I'll live as an outcast. I'll be the mother of a bastard child. She doesn't go through any of that. She has one response. It looks like this. In Luke 1, something, 38 maybe? Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. Now, we all want what God says to come true. That seems like a beautiful wish. It seems like a week-long stay at Orlando, Disney, Magic Kingdom, fireworks, may it all come true. But this is the version I like in Luke 1:38 in the King James Version. It says this, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Not that everything you said would come true, some kind of wishing thing, it's that let whatever you say be true about my life. Let my life line up with your word. Now, that's a completely different thing than I wish everything about me would come true. That entails that whatever you have said, no matter how hard, no matter what it looks like, no matter what day it is, no matter if I feel like it or if I not, no matter if all my kids have eaten and I've eaten nothing, whatever mothers do, Allie could tell you, let it be done unto me according to your word. Now that is a woman of God. It's as if she says, I know I've got this magazine and I've been looking at dresses. I know I've been thinking about Joseph and I know I've been talking about where we're going to honeymoon. I've been thinking about all these things about life. I know I have picked out 5 boy names already and 2 girl names and we're narrowing it down and I'm thinking about all my future and it's being wrecked in one moment when an angel says, it's going to be a little different than you thought. I know you had some plans, I know you had some dreams, but it's going to be a little different than you thought. And she could say yes or no, but she says, let it be done unto me according to your word. To the point that she says, I am your servant. One version says, I am your slave. It doesn't matter what I had desired for my life at one time. I know that your way is better. Your way is higher. I know it's going to hurt. I know they're going to say crazy things. I know it's not going to be easy the whole time. But there is no other way for my life than what you have said. Be it unto me according to your word. That's Mary. Mothers know the power of yes. And a godly mother knows the power of yes to the voice of the Lord. Mary understood the power of her yes to the voice of God. Number 2, godly mothers, they have a perception. Now, I talked a little bit about Abraham and Sarah, and we talked about perception and vision, and I like to kind of hammer that home and talk about how when God shows you something, it becomes a vision for your life, and you have this responsibility to follow after it. Now, here's Mary. She is hanging out with her cousin Elizabeth, her Aunt Elizabeth, and, she's doing her thing and having a good old time, but the whole time she has a perception, a vision for her life that is different from everybody else's perception. She comes back and everybody says, oh, that's Mary. Why is she pregnant? Oh, that's Joseph's girl. And then, what's really going on here? Yeah, it's God's son. I mean, whatever. But there's a perception that comes from a vision that God has given you. It's the way you see that is based on the thing that God has planted on the inside of you. And not everybody understands that. Because God has been taking you on a journey from point A to point Q. And every letter in between is a space where God has spoken to your heart. Not everybody has been there for your journey. Not everybody has been there for Mary's journey. Had they been there when the angel was like, hey, you're going to have a baby, it'd be no doubt. But she's convinced of God's presence, power, and voice in her life, even if nobody else gets it. You know what I love about moms? They have a way of showing up and be like, I don't care what you do, you ain't touching my baby. You ain't talking about my kid like that. You're like, hey, just chill out. Like, no, let me tell you something. Why? Because they have a vision of how things should go. And when it doesn't line up, it doesn't matter who stands in the way. They're going to talk about their vision for what's going to happen. Mothers are pretty serious. No matter if they're kind of passive and just kind of, oh, bless you. They go back home and they just explode. Let me tell you something about my kid and my man. And you know it's true. But it starts with that vision, that perception right there. Nobody else has been there for your journey, ladies. Every moment, every step of the way. God has walked you through each step. He He's whispered to your soul. You know the things he said. When you've told everybody else something different, you know the things deep inside that God keeps saying, the visions he's showed you, the places that you're going to go, the things that you're going to accomplish, who your kids will turn out to be, what you have planned for their life. And everybody else will have an idea, a perception about what should happen, but they don't have God's perception for your life. So Mary goes back and everybody else is giving, you know, their view. Well, you know what I think you should do? Well, you know what I think you should do? What I think Joseph should do? They have all these scenarios, but they weren't there for every step of the way. God was there every step of the way. He was there when you fasted. He was there when you cried. He was there when you were brokenhearted. He was there when you prayed. He was there when you worshiped. He was there when you stood in faith and you were like, I'm convinced. He was there when you were crumbling. He was there every part of the way, and he was giving you the vision all along. It's your perception. So Mary stands up, and she has the vision of the painting. I used to skip school. Now, in a very clean and appropriate way, I would fake I was sick. It's fine. I actually, you know, when you miss enough days, and then your dad takes you to California for 3 weeks, and then, you know, you come back. Pretty soon the school calls your dad and is like, hey, look, you cannot take Brandon out of school anymore. And a man of God like my dad says, watch me. And I say, well, you know, we're going to call these people and these people. And he says, go ahead. Go ahead. But I would skip school. And back in those days, we did not have cable because we were pastors who were broke. We barely had a cable TV or a color TV. We had a black and white TV, and I would sit and watch black and white shows on, you know, KCPT. So anything that comes on KCPT is good to me. I like KCPT. I'm a big fan of public television because when you don't have cable, you have nothing else to do, right? KCPT. But there's a certain thing that always come on. I enjoy watching it, especially when I was six. I would stay home to watch this show. And it's this show about this guy with a big afro, and his easel, his name is Bob Ross. And Bob Ross paints some amazing pictures. He'd paint and I'm gonna get the burnt umber here and then, you know, mix these colors together. He would paint a picture. I'm like, man, that is just beautiful. He was like, oh, right there. Happy tree here. Isn't it so great? Like, man, that is beautiful. And there comes a certain point in the whole entire show where the painting becomes kind of like, wow, that is amazing. That is beautiful. I wish I could paint like that. I wish I could hang that on my wall. I could have that painting. And whenever that moment comes, Bob Ross, we go, oh, here it is. Isn't that nice right there? And then he would pick up a completely different brush, a completely different color, and he'd begin painting over the masterpiece that you thought was already finished. Like, let's just add a cabin here. And inside you're going, no, no, don't touch it. What could you possibly do to this thing? You're going to ruin it. Don't touch it anymore. And he would begin to paint things over the top of what you already saw. You thought something was finished. You thought you had this beautiful, beautiful thing. But the person painting the picture had a perception that you didn't see. He starts painting lines and painting things like, what is this going to be? And then pretty soon there's like a flying flock of seagulls and, you know, all of these things going on. You're like, man, I would have stopped at the first painting had I not seen what was possible from his perspective. And Mary had a perception of every step of the way that God was actually putting the design in her hands to paint the most beautiful portrait. And everybody else goes, don't touch it. It's good. Stop right there. If you're going to salvage this thing, that's it right there. No, that's good. Don't touch. But she has a perception. Mothers, women of God, you have a perception of your life that nobody else can even see, but God has whispered it to your heart. Don't stop short of God's best for you because other people can't see it. God has walked every single step with you. He has trained you. He's directed you. He's teaching you. And there's no way there's no way that it'll be God's best if you settle for everyone else's perception instead of God's for you. Mary had a perception that came from the throne room of God. Number three. Fast forward to her delivery, and she delivers in a, you know, a stable. We all know about it's nasty and manger and animals, dirt, all that stuff. But the shepherds come and they hang out and they worship Jesus, baby Jesus, the King of Kings. And Mary's sitting there. Now, you think it's weird to have like your in-laws, you know, coming in when you had your first baby. Hey, Cousin Joe, yeah. I'm going to need a minute before you come in. Here's Mary in a manger, just giving birth. And here's all these stanky blue-collar shepherds come walking in. Hey, we heard there's a king here. Yeah, it's not the right time. Yeah, you know, nurse! And they come in and they worship. Check it out. Here's what it says. Luke 2. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And check this out. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Moms. Moms have a recollection about things, you know? They can recall things, days, moments, little nuances that nobody else caught. They ponder things, and they just sit there, and you can just see them. My grandmother was like this. She would just sit in the rocking chair and just be hanging out, and then she would just start talking about something. And you're like, I'd have no recollection of that. But she remembers the most beautiful little things. My mother, to this day, she'll drop stories like, you remember when this? I was like, no, I have no clue about that. Mothers ponder these things in their hearts. Young mothers, you already begin to ponder things about your young children. You storm up in the treasures of your heart. Some things you save in a box, right? You have the you know, ripped up construction paper pictures and, you know, the first, you know, first handprint craft and, you know, all these things. But those things are nice and those things eventually fade and you may lose them in some move and they're gone forever. But there's something about the memories that are in your heart. Perception that becomes a memory. It becomes powerful. That you hold tight and you don't let go. It's something that's so deep inside you, you ponder it in your heart. She ponders the things about now she's carried this son for 9 months. Here she is in you know, Timbuktu, Bethlehem. She's back off in somebody else's manger, or, you know, stable, and she's her son is born in a manger, and here's Lena, and she's enjoying every second of it. She hears the shepherds come, and out of nowhere these guests come because they had heard from an angel choir that he's the King of Kings, that he is the Son of God. And I think for the first time, finally, she's got somebody that believes her other than Joseph. She's excited because she's like, wow, this is the Son of God and my son. That this is a miracle from heaven and he's also mine. I get to raise him. I get to kiss him and teach him how to walk. I get to change his dirty diapers. I get to teach him how to talk. I get to... All these things she ponders in her heart from day one. Mothers have a memory. They have a memory. I wonder what kind of things that you ponder in your heart, women. Don't be afraid to let them out. Don't be afraid to talk about them. Don't be afraid to share them, to tell your story, to tell your moments, even if your kids think you're crazy, because every night you end up bawling, telling them some story about them writing all over the couch with permanent Sharpie. Don't not share the things that you ponder in your heart. Your kids need to know that they're valued, that you've seen them, that they're worth it, that every step of the way that you have been there rooting for them. And when they get old, they'll say, my mom was my greatest fan. She loved me every step of the way. Even when I was a mess, she loved me. She embraced me. How do I know? Because she cares about the details that nobody else caught. There were two people in your kids' lives that really, really know them better than anybody in the world, and it will be Jesus and you. It'll be Jesus and you. Do not be afraid to share the moments that you ponder and cherish in your heart. The next thing, we're going to fast forward even further. Jesus dies at 33. 33 years later, Mary has raised the perfect son. Talk about pressure, right? Like, how do you spank the Son of God? I mean, I don't know. Like, you're lying, son. No, I'm not. In me, there is no falsehood. I'm only truth. 33, he dies, rises from the dead. She's there for the whole thing. 50 days, Jesus is on the earth. He's actually sharing with people, talking about the next steps, and he's ministering to everybody. And he actually says, he actually tells everybody to go to Jerusalem and wait. Go wait in this upper room. It's a place where when Jesus leaves the earth, he is going to send the promised Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, we don't talk about him a whole lot. Some people are like, I didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. We have God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is actually an equal representation of God, but it is living and breathing inside of you. It's actually the thing that was lost when Adam and Eve sinned. Adam and Eve sinned, and God said, you'll surely die. What he meant was that my presence would leave you. And so Jesus comes, and he gives his life so that everything can be restored back to God's design, in that he could live in you, speak to you, guide you, direct you, and be everything that you'd ever needed across your life. Jesus is actually the Holy Spirit will teach you. He'll comfort you. He'll talk to God for you. He'll mediate between God. He'll come before God with the inner desires and groanings of your heart that you can't even speak out loud, and God will hear him, and the Holy Spirit will come back and pray in you and through you. It'll be the most beautiful relationship, but in order to have that gift, I've got to go. Before this time, the Holy Spirit would come on people like Elijah, like Moses. He would come on Abraham. He would come on the prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah. He would come on them, and then they would speak for God, and they would do great and mighty things, and the Holy Spirit would leave and go back, and they would be just regular man again. It's a tough time to be in. When the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, would come and go, and you would wait again for the presence of God. Jesus was the first person ever that the Holy Spirit would come on and stayed. Happened at his baptism. He's baptized, and the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes down like a dove and rests on Jesus, and it stayed. It didn't come and go. Everything Jesus did, he did with the power of the Holy Spirit, and he knew how valuable it was. Even though he was just average, ordinary man, flesh, he was doing great things by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he says, I've got to go so that you can go out and do greater things than I ever thought about doing through this Holy Spirit. And so he leaves, he ascends into heaven, says, go wait for 10 days in this upper room, pray for this gift because it will change your life. And so the Holy Spirit comes and rests on everybody, and that Holy Spirit is unleashed in you today. The same power that Elijah wanted to have all the time to perform the miracles that he performed, it would come and go, but in you it stays. In Jesus it stays. It's such a powerful gift. It's such a beautiful thing that Jesus knew that he couldn't stay even though he was resurrected. He could have stayed and ruled in Jerusalem. He could have stayed and been one man walking the earth doing great things, but he said, if I go, the Holy Spirit will be alive in my people. It'll be something that will change the earth one person at a time, never leaving, always staying. So Mary, this is what Ashley says. They go up to the upper room. You got Acts 1:13? When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All those people we expect to be there, don't we? Those are all the disciples, all their whole crew. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, wait a minute. We're talking about the most holy woman next to Jennifer Potter and Zanny Davenport. Zanny Davenport, Jennifer Potter, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Same team. It baffles me that I only caught this a few years ago. One tag on Mary, the mother of Jesus. She raises the presence of God on earth. That in a moment, she was standing there as a teenager with hopes and dreams, and an angel comes and says, what? The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. It'll come on you, and in that moment, you will begin to carry a holy child. You will raise the Son of God, Mary. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was on you. We see Elijah. We know he was anointed. We know Moses was anointed. But what the Bible is really saying is that Mary was anointed in a moment for a task that was impossible. Impossible. To have a child never knowing a man? Impossible. But the Holy Spirit was on her. She raises the Son of God. The Bible says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man, and she was there every step of the way. She's the ultimate homeschooler. She was teaching Jesus about God, whom he was. You think it's hard to teach your kids division in fifth grade? Fractions, like, man, I don't remember. We did this when I was a senior. Common core, what? I don't know. She's teaching the truths of God to the Son of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. She raises Jesus. She sees him live 33 years, die on a cross. She's there every second of the day. And here she is in a place where I don't think she needs to be. In my book, I don't think she needs to be there. Everybody else needs to pay their dues. Everybody else needs to go up there and pray for 10 days. Everybody else needs to go up there and, you know, and school of hard knocks. But Mary has been through it. Mary's gone through the tough time. Mary's paid every price that she had to pay. And here she is in the upper room. Why? Because, oh, you know, Mary, she's nobody special. It's just, you know, everybody's got to pay their dues and go up and pray. I don't think that. I think that she had heard that the power of the Holy Spirit was going to be in a certain place, and she was not going to miss it. They prayed for 10 days straight, 120 people. We went from 500 disciples all following Jesus. Jesus goes up, and only 120 left in the upper room. People just falling off like flies. And she's like, no, I won't miss it. I won't miss it. They go up, and they pray for 10 days straight. When's the last time you prayed for 10 days straight in one room with 120 other people? Mary's there. If anybody gets a pass, Mary should. If anybody's more holy, Mary should be. If anybody, you know, is like, hey, just show up and tell me what happened at the upper room, I'm going to be back at my house. Mary should. But she's there. The Bible says, in the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And the doors opened up and tongues of fire land on their head, and they all speak in unknown tongues, and it becomes this powerful thing, and the church is birthed in one single day. Peter stands up and preaches, and 3,000 people come and get saved in one second. Why? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. I can imagine people, they didn't know what to expect. Nobody else knew what to expect. The Holy Spirit, are you kidding me? Is Jesus going to come back? I mean, what's this going to be like? We have no idea. We're just waiting here because Jesus said to be here. But Mary knew. Mary knew what it was like. She said, "Be it unto me as you have said," and experienced the power of the Holy Spirit with a yes. Yes. Am I right? I can imagine her in the upper room and everybody else's. And wind, fire, tongues, I mean, it's the glory of God. What is this thing? What is this? I can imagine the strangeness of the overwhelming presence of God. I hear music. I feel something. This is so beautiful and scary. I'm full and I'm empty. I don't know what it is. It's amazing. But I can imagine Mary in the corner saying, "That's it. That's what I remember. The power of God. The power of God that says I can do all things through Christ who gave me strength." This child may be way different than all of humanity, but I can raise it. My marriage may be a blended marriage now. It's crazy, but I can do it. They all may look at me and it may be a little funny and they might whisper and they might say something and I might feel convicted at times as if, why did this happen to me? But that whole same Holy Spirit power is the thing that says, yes, I can. I think she was in the upper room because she needed that again. She wanted that again. She said, "My boy is gone, but that presence is the most powerful thing in the world." A mother, a woman of God, experiences the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the kind of mom that turns everything else off when everybody's away and says, "God, I need you." When the world is crashing down, when the weight of the world is coming in, they say, "Yes, I can." A memory won't be enough. I need you, God. A one-time experience, a back then thing won't be enough. I need you, God. With you, all things are possible. I realize that I'm not capable, but with you, I can. That I'll be everything you dreamed me to be with your presence on my life. Mary, the mother of God, waiting for that touch to come into her life. I want to pray for you mothers. If you're here today, if you're a mom, stepmom, doesn't matter what kind, adopted mom, if somebody just calls you mom, you're not even a mother. Maybe you're a grandmother who's raising grandkids. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Would you stand up wherever you are? Let me just applaud all the mothers in this room. You're so amazing. Most incredible. Would you come forward? We want to pray for you. Come on now. Come on now. I know it may be tough. You might have a little limp in your leg. Might be carrying a baby. But trust me. I'm going to pray today that the power and presence of God, turn around this way. Don't look at those ugly bugs out there. Squeeze in here if you can. Come this way. Come this way. Pastors, if you come and let's lay hands on these ladies, come on in. Squeeze in. Squeeze in. All the dudes are out there, so it's not going to stink. Don't worry. Let me tell you something. You're valuable. You're so valuable. Don't ever, ever for a second believe the lie of the enemy that says you're not valuable. That every word you speak either builds up or tears down. That everything that you carry on the inside of you that God has given to you, He put there because it's a gift for the people that he's put in your life to raise. Do not ever, ever shrink back from that gut feeling of the Holy Spirit rising up inside of you saying, do it now. It's time to go. It's time to do that thing. It's time to believe. It's time. Do not second guess that. The Holy Spirit is alive and well in your lives, and he desires to do in you more than you ever imagined. You are not second rate. You are not just a mom. You are the builder of the future. Don't take that lightly. The children he's given you, he gave to you. They're not an accident. They're not broken. He gave them to you. He designed them in your womb. Every single thing is a setup for God, and he wants his power to be alive in you to make it happen. Don't forego that. Let's pray. Let's bow your heads. Come on. Men, stretch out your hands towards these ladies. Come on. Women, daughters, sons, we love you. We love you. We love you, Jesus. But there is anointing. There's an anointing on a woman who raises children. I pray right now that that anointing to nurture, to love, to go forward, to be all that God has imagined them to be would come alive in them. Pour out your Holy Spirit in their life. For those that do not feel the love of God, the love of the Father, pour out your love in their hearts by the Holy Spirit right now. Romans 5:5. Shed abroad on their hearts, covering them every second of every day, fill in the gaps, let the broken pieces become whole, let every wound be healed up because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And right now, I speak against the curse of the past. Regrets, depression that come in and they say, you're not worthy, you shouldn't have done that. But that's not the voice of God, that's the voice of the enemy that wants to destroy the thing that God has called you to do. God is lifting you up, he's holding you up right now, and he's saying, move forward. The past is the past. There's a new day coming, and it is for you. I am for you, and you have a purpose. Right now, in the name of Jesus, let the Holy Spirit sweep over these women. Empower them like never before. Let today, let tomorrow, next week be a mission that they attack because they know who they are, a daughter of God. In the name of Jesus, Father, we love you. Even when we've had images of fathers that have broken, terrible images of fathers, heal that. Even when we had good images of fathers, heal that. You're so much more than every box we try to put you in. I pray you take the limits off these ladies, off their mind, off their will, their emotions, and let them be who you have called them to be to the fullest extent because of your grace, your truth, and all that you are. In Jesus' name.